Welcome beyond the Reiki Gateway. I'm your host, Andrea Kennedy. Like countless others, Reiki found me when I wasn't even looking, and then it ignited a whole new world of questions. This podcast explores topics of interest for the spiritually curious. Join me for discussions and special guests on subjects such as past lives, crystal healing, spiritual awakening, ascension, energy healing, and more, all to assist and inspire you along your unique soul's journey. This episode is sponsored by Mainstream Reiki, offering live and online Reiki classes and a membership community to help Reiki practitioners succeed and grow in their practice. Find out more at mainstreamreiki.com. Welcome to Beyond the Reiki Gateway. This is Andrea, and I've got Sheila Tricarton with me today. And Sheila has nearly 30 years of expertise in the holistic field. She's very diversified in what she offers as well. She specializes in animal communication, mediumship, energy readings, including seeing auras and interpreting chakras, as well as communicating with spirit guides and angels. Sheila guides people in awakening their natural but often hidden psychic abilities and strengths. She does this through her various courses, sessions, and her community. She's really dedicated to teaching people how to do these things for themselves and then perhaps branching out and helping others. Is that right, Sheila?
Oh, that's totally correct, Andrea. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. So thanks for joining me here Beyond the Reiki Gateway. I read quite a list of the different things that you have experience with. You have, as we said, nearly 30 years of experience actually offering things in the holistic field. And I'm wondering, you seem quite young to me. How did all this get started for you? Did you grow up with these sorts of gifts and knowings, or how did you get to where you are today?
Oh my goodness, thank you. I love you already. Thinking that I'm so young. That's beautiful. It's been a lifelong journey understanding the concepts of spiritual connection and my own spiritual abilities. I started when I was a young child being able to naturally see and communicate with spirits and animals. And I didn't realize that it wasn't something that wasn't common. And I used to go out into the woods around my home because we lived kind of out in the middle of nowhere in Northern Ontario in Canada. We lived actually in a log house, which was my dad's dream. And there wasn't any neighbors for about a kilometer in either direction of us. So I would just wander through the woods and visit with the animals and talk to them. And I didn't even recognize that other people didn't know how to do that. And it wasn't something that we did naturally. When in actuality, we can tell in as we get older that we recognize, okay, this is something that, or at least that's what happened to me, I realized that this is something that is supposed to be what we all do. So I don't really think that I have any special gifts. I believe that I have awakened innate talents. And I think that's my focus in assisting other people to be able to awaken their own innate talents as well.
Did you have siblings as well?
You know what? That's a good question. I have four siblings. However, I am the youngest of five children, and my next sister is 5 years older than me. So when we were living in the country, my siblings were all gone, meaning that they moved out and they were already starting their lives. My family at very young age, all my siblings left the home. So they were all close together in age, ranging from like a year to a year and a half between them. So when my next sister to me left, she was 16 when she left the home, 16 or 17. So I was like 11 at that point. And so there wasn't really a sense of being able to connect with them. My oldest sister is 9 years older than me. And I believe she was gone, I think I was about 9 years old or 8 years old when she was out of the house. So I don't have a strong connection to them as a child. And that made me feel like I was an only child. So when in the times I'm talking about when I was out in the woods, I was by myself because there was no one else around, no siblings to play with.
Yeah. And probably not a lot of technology, which I think gets in the way today. you know, with our children. There's so much to focus on, but it just sounds beautiful for you to be out there in the woods like that at a young age. And I think if more of us could do that as children, that would really have quite an impact on us for sure. And so you got a bit older, and then you must have figured out that other people weren't doing what you were doing. What happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I totally agree with you on that point about technology. I'm not really that young. I'm quite old in my mind. And we first started exposure to computers when I was in grade 9. So that is revealing how old I actually am. But that's okay. I'm quite happy with having had the experience of being able to have that connection with nature. So yes, it was when I was out in the woods, I would bring animals home sometimes. My most profound experience that I remember is bringing a snake home and knocking on the door because I had the snake in my hand. So I was like knocking on my elbow, and my mom opened the door and she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I found a snake. Oh, look it. He wants to come home. He wants to live with us." And my mom, there was a shovel beside the door, and my mom picked up the shovel and she started coming after me because she didn't like snakes. And she started to panic. And I said, no, he's friendly. Trust me. He's very, very friendly. He's a really nice guy. And my mom said, "Get that out of here." And so that was one of the situations I remember. And then I remember sitting in a long car ride with my parents, and I was sitting in the back talking to a fly. And I was trying to get the fly to do things. And I said to my mom, I said, "Oh, the fly says," and I don't even remember exactly what the fly had said, but I said to her, "You know, the fly says this to me." And she said, "What do you mean?" And she kind of looked at me oddly and turned her head from the front seat, questioning me, as wondering, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "The fly, he's talking to me." And she said, "Sheila, animals do not talk. Are you okay?" And then right then and there, I stopped and I said, "Oh, other people aren't doing this?" I didn't even recognize, because it wasn't something I shared openly often. I just did it and I didn't think about it. And I was a very, very shy and reserved child. So I wouldn't talk a lot when I did talk. It was usually just answering questions and communicating very minimal. So the idea of talking to the animals was something that transpired over time, and the awareness of the fact that other people weren't quite doing what I was doing. Now, on the other hand, the spirits that I was talking to, my father had a healthy fear, I guess, of people on the other side, a fear of death, fear of people on the other side. And when I was young, my mother's father used to do things in our house. He passed when my mom was 9, and he would do things like turn the lights on, put the fan on in the house. And there was one time where we were having dinner, all of us together, and my father criticized my grandfather because his picture was sitting in that room. And the fork literally jumped off the table and hit my father in the foot. And so my dad immediately went over, put the picture face down, and had a few choice words for my grandfather. But that part of my abilities was considered to be acceptable to a degree where there was an awareness that spirits existed beyond what we could see with our own eyes. But I didn't also discuss a lot about being able to see those spirits because my father's fear was so great and he didn't like to hear about it. So that, I guess that explains that I was a little bit more reserved in my younger years. And it was probably about the age of 18 where I started to really try to study. I'm going to give you my whole life story here. So it just explains how I got to where I am. So when I was 17, my partner at the time, my boyfriend, we actually he had just asked me to marry him. I was in grade 12 of school and we had plans. I was going off to university to be a psychologist. We were moving to another town where he was from. And unfortunately, he was killed in a motorcycle accident. Oh. So during that time, before he was taken, before he was taken back home to spirit, he and I had many conversations about something happening to him that I felt was occurring. I felt like he was leaving, but I didn't understand how he was leaving. And exactly a week before he passed, we sat together on the couch while it was raining and looking out the window. And I just started to cry. And I said, you know, I feel like you're going. And for the first time, and I've been telling him for about 6 months that I felt like he was going to go, not trying to make it happen, but seeing visions and feeling a separation, and I would get full body paralyzations. And I was just picking up all this energy from it. And he kept telling me, don't be silly. You know, it's going to be fine. Yeah, that was the first time that night, exactly a week before, he agreed with me and he started to cry as well. And he said, you know, I think you're right. I feel it. And I've been feeling it for a while. So we really need to make the best of the time that we have together. And then, yes, a week later, he was killed in the motorcycle accident. And then after that, well, pretty much stopped living for about 6 months and tried to find my meaning of life. And then I went back into society. I found a psychic medium. She channeled my partner. His name was Darren. She channeled him. And all of a sudden, I was like confirmation about the idea that there are others on the other side. I had been seeing them. I had been talking to them. But that was the most profound experience I had because that was someone I was personally linked to. And so that brought me into more understanding. I was 18 at the time, brought me more understanding of psychic awareness. And I started to study everything I could. Being in Northern Ontario, there wasn't a lot of offerings, as you said. There wasn't computers around. There was encyclopedias and books. So I tried to get my hands on some books. And it was really when I was 21 that I moved to a larger city close to Toronto. And that helped me because there was more exposure, more people who understood the field and understood the concept of psychic awareness. And then I started to study more at that time. But previous to that, I have umpteen different examples. That's just a couple examples of what I experienced in my younger years. Long story, sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. What really struck me is your relationship and how you described how you felt he was leaving. And then he came around to that agreement, also feeling that, and how that was so integral, I would say, in how your life then unfolded, how everything is so intertwined. You know, nothing happens in isolation, but that's really what struck me there. And also when you moved and there were more people, and we would say community, right? Because when we can be around other people with similar interests, then we have more resources too. That can make all the difference. Yeah, so that was really very interesting to me. I can so relate as well. I remember when I was young, I was very interested in all things spiritual or just mysterious. We lived in a small town and I would go to the library, you know, because again, we didn't really have computers and all of that kind of thing. And even the computers we had back then didn't have all the stuff that we can get to online these days. You know, it was kind of limited back then. Yeah, I can remember getting books on handwriting analysis, you know, all kinds of anything that I could think of. But yeah, it's really remarkable. What I'm curious about now, Sheila, is you have such a broad foundation of what you offer, what you teach other people to do. I'm interested in the mediumship for one thing, because you mentioned your father had that great fear about death. You know, if I look in my family, I have many relatives that I would say that. And I used to be quite afraid of death too, you know, when I was younger, but not anymore. Hasn't there been such a revolution in our world about that, about the fear of death and this opening up to life afterwards? I'm wondering if you might talk about what you've seen over the years, just in that one field about this fear and how things have changed?
It's been phenomenal how much we have shifted and advanced in our spiritual awareness and our understanding that we have the ability to harness and awaken our own natural spiritual connections, our own natural psychic ability. There's nothing that really I do that anyone couldn't learn, because absolutely we are all on the same playing field there. And what we choose to awaken within ourselves is our own right, often guided by our spiritual path. For me, it was just the fact that if you looked at the timeline of my life, which I often encourage my clients to do, is look at the timeline of your life and connect the dots. Like you said, nothing ever happens for a reason that isn't valid within your soul path. There was a lot of linking to bringing me to the spiritual awareness, to unleashing these psychic abilities. And although I was able to do a lot of it as a child, I blocked it. That's one part of my story, I guess, like didn't add in there. It's been so many years ago, I don't always remember to tell vital pieces of the journey. But one of the vital pieces is probably around the age of 14, because I saw a really tragic murder. It was my second cousin. And I saw it in visions in my mind. And I saw where they would find her. And after that time, when I saw that, I stopped wanting to do the psychic work. And I tried to shut it down. And I did successfully numb it and shut it down to a great degree. And then it started to open again when I was getting messages about Darren going to cross. And then after that, I said, there's got to be a reason. I'm going to open this back up. I'm going to learn about it so that I can master it and I don't feel threatened by it, or I don't feel fearful of it. So that fear concept leading into your question. So now I feel like we always have this grand comfortableness with things we are educated on, and the very uncomfortableness with things that we are not familiar with or that we are uneducated about, which is only human nature. And now, because of that blessing of the internet and the expansion of us being able to access information at rapid speeds and a multitude of different diverse opinions about information in many, many different fields, we have that access. And then people are starting to truly advance in their own spiritual awakening. And my true passion is to teach other people how to do what I do, which is how to utilize their own psychic abilities. I feel like there has been this explosion of interest in the field. I mean, when I was 27, I had my first retail New Age store at the time. And in that time, people didn't even understand what Reiki was. And I know that's your forte and your love and your passion. But at that time, we had to explain to people what Reiki was. And now everybody is very versed in that understanding. And you'd be hard pressed to find someone who didn't know what Reiki was, because it is so well expanded into our society, which is such a blessing. We all need Reiki. It really is something that helps us heal ourselves and assists us in healing others, as well as the animals, nature, our community. It allows us, I guess I would call it a gateway into the understanding of energy. And since everything is about energy and we are made up of energy, then it only makes sense that we have access to all of those areas. The idea that people are less fearful about death is very interesting. I'd say that I come across still a lot of people who are fearful, but again, it's the lack of awareness and understanding. And what I'm getting from the universe right now is to say, it's a lack of understanding of belief, because belief is what really drives our fears and our uncomfortableness or our comfortableness with things. So more people are having more beliefs that are aligned with life after death, with spiritual understanding, with the fact that we are souls living a human life and that this is truly just an illusion. And when we can educate more people, like with your podcast, then that helps people to have a greater awareness and then a stronger belief so that they feel less disconnected with their soul self and more connected to their soul understanding.
Yeah, I think fears all across the board, more people, I think, are tuning in and doing mediumship work. The other trend that I'm seeing a lot, I feel like, is channeling, which, I mean, mediumship in a way is channeling, wouldn't you say?
I would say that mediumship, speaking to people who are on the other side, speaking to animals, speaking to your guides and angels, speaking to any energy is a form of channeling. So I totally agree with that. And I mean, they're just semantics about wording. But to me, channeling is channeling. So I totally agree.
Well, yeah. And even, I mean, Reiki's channeling energy, healing energy, but mediumship or speaking to angels or your higher self or whatever that may be, that's just channeling a different frequency of energy when we compare it to Reiki, I would think. But yeah, it does seem like more and more people are channeling. I see it all the time, you know, everywhere. So that's really opening up too. We're really in a sort of a revolution or a relovution, I think, on the planet of remembrance and all of this. And so the classes that you offer and all the different avenues, the different specializations, I would say, we mentioned in the beginning of the episode about seeing auras, you know, that you teach that. And I think that is probably one of the very first classes I ever took was about seeing auras, because I think it's just a curious topic, isn't it? And so you mentioned too, Reiki is a gateway, and I just couldn't agree more beyond the Reiki gateway. So I'm jumping around a little bit here, but the thing is that I think people are so ready to really open up. And so whether they're just coming to Reiki or they came to Reiki many years ago, there's always something else to learn, whether we begin with seeing auras or maybe we're starting to see people who have passed and things like that. And as we're opening up to more and more possibilities of what we might perceive, I want to circle back to one thing. And then I would like to talk more about channeling specifically, but that is that fear. And you mentioned fear. You mentioned this time when you saw some uncomfortable things and that caused you to dampen. And you used the word numb, I believe, of your abilities. What I see over and over with people is the fears, right? Whether it's seeing visions, hearing things, being startled, you know, by surprise, maybe seeing somebody that's crossed or not knowing when something's going to come into their awareness, that can be very frightening, I would think. So for our listeners and our viewers on YouTube, I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about that. What advice, what do you suggest for people who are so curious, they feel like they may have gifts that they want to explore, but then there's the fear factor involved. What can you share about that?
I would say that fear is a natural human response, but it's an ego response. So I love one of my clients, when I was channeling his guides and angels, one of the messages that came through many, many years ago, and I always ask if I can borrow this because I love this saying, is that the ego is a gift to the soul that makes us human. So it's a gift that helps us to be able to experience life. And in that pocket of ego comes fear. And it is something that triggers us to behave in certain ways. And sometimes that creates a fight, flight, or freeze response that prevents us from moving forward. But that's all just a learning experience. And when we can look at that, the design of fear for the human perspective is to prevent us from being at harm. And that's when a threat is chasing us or we have a near-death occurrence where we need to run, we need to flee, we need to freeze in the spot to protect ourselves. It's for self-sustaining survival. And really, in our society, it's turned into a almost trend or an existence, a way of living. So a lot of people live from a fear response, which is not necessary. When we remind ourselves that we are souls in a human body having an illusionary experience, so we are living an illusion, this is a playground that we are experiencing and learning things that the soul desired for us to experience. So we'll go back to the timeline. If we start to have a belief of the timeline of our soul's desires, so when we are in soul form, we lay out, or at least this is just my personal belief, given the fact that I've experienced so many communications with many different energies, we as our souls lay out the groundwork for what we want to experience in this life through lessons and understanding of adventures or experiences connected to what we could enjoy as a human. We lay that out and we set certain checkpoints for us to be able to meet. Then it is the role of our spirit guide team and our angels to assist us in achieving those checkpoints. And if we can remember that our soul is what wants us to have these experiences, and that soul part of us engaged in these experiences and this learning, then we will have less fear to begin with. Then once we go through that commitment to the soul self, we understand that everything happens for a reason, and we understand that it's our soul who is governing our life experience, then that in itself will take away some of the fears that we hold. We are still human. We still have an ego, so we will still have some of that fear. The other thing that I would say is get knowledgeable. Learn what you can. And when we have that learning, it becomes a tool for us to hold less fear. Because what we know more about, it becomes the known rather than the unknown. And we don't hold fear when we have the known, unless we have a core belief block or an emotional trauma around it, then we can clear those things from our path. The first thing is to trust the soul self, which is just another version of yourself. It is the higher self, and walk through life leaning on that understanding. There's a lot of tools we can use to feel like we are protecting ourselves. But really, truly, nothing can harm us unless we give it permission to. So there's really no need for fear to exist. One of the things that I love to teach too for protection for those who are feeling fearful about negative energies or fearful about things on the other side is the violet light exercise, imagining that you are surrounded in violet light or in a violet light bubble. Now, violet is just the color purple. It is a color that transmutes negativity and moves it into positiveness. So we can imagine that we are surrounded in a violet light bubble or standing in a violet light flame, and that will transmute any negative energies into positive. The next thing, which I'm sure many people who have at least studied any kind of spirituality, would be to surround yourself with a white light bubble, because the white light bubble is a protective energy that assists us. So if you're uncomfortable with spirits around you, if you're an empath and you're picking up energies all over, then it's important to have those two techniques to help move your energy. The other thing I would suggest is coming kind of out of the fear, maybe, or transitioning into the concept of empath. Sometimes empaths hold fear, and sometimes it's just the overwhelm that they're experiencing from picking up the energies. And one exercise I would use for them is to utilize the concept of I only keep what is mine. And you use that by saying those words out loud, I only keep what is mine, and taking a deep breath in and exhaling, imagining all of that fear, all of that energy, everything that you don't want leaving your body. And even if you don't know what it is that you're holding that is not yours, it at least allows that to drain from your system. And you say that 3 times in a row, taking a deep breath in between each one, and then feel how you feel afterwards, because I only keep what is mine is going to allow you to come back to the centeredness of yourself. Anything that's left over, you are holding for yourself. So if it was an external influence of energy causing you to have the fear or the uncomfortableness, then now you know, because it will be gone. If you still have the fear, then you're going to use the violet light, and then you're going to use the white light. Those are just three really quick, easy exercises to do that anyone can integrate into their lifestyle, and they do not take a long time to do. And easy for people to be able to work with. I'm just hearing also from the universe that best to remind everybody that it is our intention that holds the power of energy shifting. So whatever you intend is what you're going to bring to you. So if I'm intending to clear myself, if I'm intending to remove the fear or protect my energy, it will be so because I intend it to be so. And that comes back to that belief we talked about. If I believe it, it is true. Because no matter what I'm projecting, if it's coming from belief, it's going to magnetize back to me and it's going to format into my energetic space. And then my ego self will percolate that and process that, and it will come into my awareness and my existence.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, I think people forget the power that they have and the power of their intention, the power of our free will. And I think if we can underscore that and shout it from the rooftops more and more, I think more people will believe the truth in that, like you say, and then that can change your world. That can literally change how you operate in the world, not just thinking or believing you're a leaf on a stream and wherever the water takes you, you know, that's kind of how you'll end up or that's your journey. And that's just not true. We're not a leaf on the stream. We're so powerful in how we perceive, how we engage with the world. And that's energy, like you're saying. So I think that's one of my big things in life is I just really want people to understand that they have so much power in their own lives. And when we can really begin to grasp that, that to me is when the fear starts to lose its power.
I would agree. Definitely. Empowerment is the key, and it comes from our belief space and our comfort within ourselves. Do we trust ourselves? Do we feel safe? Do we trust our soul self? Do we trust life? And in my Sagacity membership community that I have, it really is this community that I have. It was developed because I had this desire to teach other people how to empower themselves and how to awaken their own spiritual abilities, their innate talents within, so that they could live a more empowered life as well. In that community, there's a lot of different exercises. There's guided meditation. There is educational podcasts. There's tools for them to build their own spiritual toolbox so that they can walk through those fears. They can understand themselves more. Fear is, I think, the nemesis to empowerment. And when we believe that we are powerless, then we are. When we believe that we are powerful, then we are. Again, it comes back to that belief and our own innate intentions of what we want to achieve in life. And I always feel that I learned this at a young age. Remember, I said I was a very, very shy and introverted child. And one of the things that I learned is how to get out of that shyness, how to get out of that fear, that uncomfortableness with myself and society and everything, life in general. I learned that when I had a fear, I needed to address that fear. I needed to acknowledge it and I needed to walk right through it. And that was the only way that I was going to hold empowerment. And that's what I did over and over and over. And whenever I had a fear come up, I met it face to face and I walked right through it one way or another, or I helped myself to dissolve it. And it's not an easy process. I'm not pretending that it is. It was sometimes very painful to be walking through those spaces. It's so uncomfortable to be sitting in those areas that made me feel so insecure. And I think that it was just realization after trying to face the fear that brought me to the understanding of, you know what, that really is the antidote. It really is. And it comes back to trust myself, trust my soul self, trust life. Those are keys. So if people are sitting in fear out there and they don't know how to step forward, there is umpteen different tools that we could use to at least get us out of the fear or the fight, flight, freeze response and into a more neutral space of rest and repair. One of the things I would highly suggest is vagus nerve stimulation, because if you're sitting in deep survival mode, the vagus nerve, it regulates our fight, flight, freeze and rest and repair mode. And so we would want to stimulate that. And that's not anything that I need to believe or anything I need to imagine. If you look out there in our grand pool of information in the internet, you're going to find vagus nerve stimulation exercises. And it's very beneficial for at least to start there so that we can now move. When we come into rest and repair, rest and rejuvenate, that's when we can absorb learning and information at a greater level. If you're stuck in freeze or flight fight, you're not going to be able to absorb any information at all. So we would want to just move you out of that. And then we would start to help to understand what tools and what concepts will assist in moving through those uncomfortablenesses or that those areas of insecurity that we hold. We all have them because we are human and we are meant to experience that. That's what the soul wants. And that's part of the battle, is just understand that the soul wants to have these experiences. As the universe says, when we don't take it as personally or as concretely, it's easier. But again, I'm stuck in fear, flight, fight mode, I'm not going to be able to come to that understanding unless I get out of that space.
Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, the parasympathetic mode, that's where it's at, I got to say. And, you know, for all the Reiki people out there, that's what Reiki does. It shifts us into that rest, relax, and restore mode. So vagus nerve stimulation, that's everybody out there too can do that. Hello, it's Andrea, and in addition to being your host here at the podcast, I'm the founder of Mainstream Reiki, where bringing Reiki further into the mainstream is my mission. I offer quality Reiki classes of all levels to students attending live from around the world. And I've built a membership community as well to help Reiki people connect with each other through discussions, events, and Reiki practice. So if you're considering learning Reiki, or you already have, I invite you to visit mainstreamreiki.com to discover your next step in your Reiki journey. Thank you. And now, back to the show. I wanted to address something. You know, we talked about in our early days, we were limited on resources, right? And so we had to find books and, you know, then maybe people and things like that. And now today we have the internet. We are in a sea of information and disinformation and, you know, all of the stuff out there, or maybe it's misinformation. But anyway, isn't it true though that we've always had the source of information when it comes to spirituality? And that is connecting with our higher self, the universe, for information. I mean, way back then, though, when I was a kid going to the library, I had no idea that I was even worthy or could tap in to the all that is, you know. And it took a long time for me to learn that. But so many more people are learning that, you know what, that is available to me. I can tune in to that and seek guidance, because I think we look outside of ourselves for the answers. I think that's just normal. It's a human thing. And there's safety in numbers. So, you know, if we can find other people that agree, you know, that this is a possibility or whatever it is, then that can be comforting for us as well. More people are opening up, as we've said throughout this episode, to all of the psychic gifts, the connections, spirituality, that all is energy. And so, isn't it exciting that perhaps the most resonant form of communication for our answers, for our guidance personally, is channeling from that highest stream of consciousness or a higher level of consciousness? I'm wondering if you could talk about that, about tuning in personally for guidance. I know you channel angels and spirit guides and things like that as well. I don't know if there's a question in there, Sheila, but that's at least a little bit of a topic that I think would be interesting because, again, all people can access that guidance.
Yes. The understanding, Andrea, is that where I gained my security was through understanding myself more, connecting with my higher self more, connecting with nature. One of the areas that I had the most beautiful experiences and the most profound experiences with is learning from the animals. They've taught me so much. So being able to communicate with the animals has brought me so much information that I wouldn't have found anywhere else. And I trust it because it's coming from an unbiased source. Those animals, they're pure, they're light, and they speak the truth. They tell you like it is. I mean, they've learned to adapt to our way of being so they can conform or they will shift what they're feeling in order to assist us. But when they are speaking from their true selves, their wisdom is priceless. And it's one of my areas where I said they have been my biggest teachers. My higher self has been a really positive teacher as well. That's what you're alluding to. And the guides and the angels, always. I walk through my life fully connected, and I connect with my own spirit team, my own spirit guides, and my higher self. And I remove the external noise of all other energies, and I trust my spirit team. So they're always coming through. I'm always working with them. Being able to do that affords me the opportunity to be more comfortable in life and to feel more secure, more empowered. And I don't have to have all the answers in order to feel good enough, in order to feel worthy. Whatever I don't know, I pull from the guides and angels. I pull from my higher self. I pull from nature. And I recognize that we are here as learning beings having a learning experience. So we're not supposed to be perfectionists. We're not supposed to know everything. And that really helps me. And I love to open this understanding with others so that they can channel their higher self, so that they can channel their guides and angels. And one of the things that I'd say to begin with is for people to be able to identify their soul self. And in order to identify your soul self, you have to know your human self. So we want to find our human center point, or the point within our heart system where we function from. We function energetically from the heart center. And when we can tune into our own heart center, then we will start to understand our own human self. Once we understand our own human self and we feel more accepting and comfortable with our own human self, then we can reach out and we can tap into our soul self. And that soul self is loving, it's protective, it's all-encompassing, it's light-based, and it will assist us. How to communicate with that is creating an awareness that it exists and tapping into trying to access that part of ourselves. And we live in this duality. We live in ego and we live in soul. And we're always functioning from those spaces. And when we can honor the ego self or the human self, and then we can honor the soul self, then we can start to understand which part of our being is being expressed in any given moment. Soul self is the part of us that has the intuition, the psychic abilities, the recognition of energy. And then the human self, the ego self, is the one that is more analytical and concrete. But we have both of those sides in all of us because we are both ego and soul self. So we already have that in us. And we just start to identify that, that becomes the first exercise in being able to connect with that soul or channel our soul self. Then once we channel our soul self, we can channel our spirit guides, our angels. We can channel those beings that are on the other side. And in a course that I offer called Learn to Channel Your Spirit Guides and Angels, we teach step by step how to move through the concepts of connecting. And one of the things that we focus on is the awareness that when we are channeling, we are sitting in theta state. And theta is just a brain state that we are in. And then once we can get ourselves practicing the theta state, or it's like a meditative state, then we can tune into that other energy frequency, as you called it. You called it a frequency. It's just a different channel. So all of these frequencies are like a radio station. I mean, you're tuning into a new station to tune into a new energetic frequency. Your soul self is on one frequency. The guides are on another frequency. Angels on another frequency. Animals on another frequency. Your past loved ones on another frequency. So you're just tuning your dial into that energy and you're being able to hear it. One of the things that people, as I'm sitting here, I ask the universe to bring through whatever people might need to hear. And so you'll hear me go, oh, my God said this, or the universe said this. And one of the things they're saying is that we want to remind people that sometimes people don't know what's coming through when they're experiencing energies coming through. So one of the ways that I teach is for them to pay attention to where the information is coming through them, because there will be a pattern coming through. Not every radio station, not every frequency is going to come through at the same space in your own energetic being. So personally for me, my guides come on my left side and I feel them coming from outside of my energetic field in. My angels come on the left side as well, but more to the front. Anybody who has crossed over comes on my right side, and my higher self comes above, and the animals come from the back of my head. So I have laid out this, or actually all of these energies have done that for me, and I follow the pattern of where they come into my energetic being. And this helps me to identify sometimes when something's coming through that I'm not sure what it is. I will identify it by where I'm feeling the energies come through in my own being. So that's why we need to know ourselves. We need to sit in that awareness of how do I feel in my natural space? And then when an energy comes in, where am I picking that up from in my space? And anyone can do this. It just takes practice. I mean, if you want to be a professional athlete, you're going to do work every day. You're going to do the preliminary work. You're going to put your mind in the right space and you're going to be committed and dedicated. And same thing with our own spiritual awareness. If we practice every day, we are only going to get more clear. We are only going to get better at it. And we're going to only have a greater understanding of it the more that we do it. So that is some of the tools I teach and offer to people. In the understanding, that's the process. You know yourself, know your higher self, identify with the energies around you, understand where they're coming from, and begin to practice exercises that are going to strengthen your third eye. And sorry, the universe talking again. Not only do we want to just talk about the third eye, but we want to talk about the entire energetic system. The whole chakra system is at play whenever we do anything. And so we need to have a balanced energetic system in order to be able to have the energy move through us freely. And that balanced energy flow helps us to be able to channel more clearly the energies that come in. If an energy comes in from outside and we are bracing ourselves or uncomfortable with it, we're going to block it. We block our own energy flow. This is where, of course, Reiki comes in. It's a beautiful tool. Or meditation. These are tools that help us to keep our energy in flow. When the energy is in flow, we are sitting at a greater resonance. And when we connect with the earth's energy, we ground that energy. And so when energies come in, we can identify that it's not our energy. And then we can begin to understand what that energy is. Again, I'm sorry, I'm so chatty, but it's just, I have so much passion for this.
No, it's beautiful. You know, one of the questions I think that many people opening up have is, how do they know when to share things that they intuitively or psychically receive? So we've really been talking a lot about tuning in for our own guidance, but often we'll receive information perhaps about other people. A lot of people who do Reiki receive information about the person they're offering Reiki to. And so I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that. How do you suggest that someone opening up navigate that? How to manage the information and what to share and how to go about that?
I personally believe that I do not like to intrude on anybody's personal space without permission. So the first thing that I always do is ask for permission. If anything comes through that is not generic or meant for the populace, meant for society in general, if it's a private, personal thing, I always ask for permission from the person to be able to share or tap into their energy. I try personally not to tap into anybody's energy, even an animal's energy, without being welcomed to do so first. And I have developed an opportunity to be able to move my energy to what I call like turning it up or turning it down. I use like a dial. Sometimes I'm in a space with other people and I do not intrude on that energy without their permission because I turn my dial down. If someone requests, then I turn the dial back up. So if you're getting information about someone else and you feel like that would be intrusive if somebody came to you with that information, then I would say you probably should keep it to yourself unless you ask for permission if the person wants to be able to hear it or wants you to share it. In that case, some of the things like the universe always says to me, you know, some of this stuff, it's for you. It's not for them. It's all for you. If it comes to you, it's for you and you don't need to push it on anyone else. You don't need to shout it from the rooftops to make people believe. It's you need to believe it in yourself. That's it. That's all that matters. And so I would say, if you wanted to start to practice, I would go to people that you know are open, request for permission to be able to channel for them, to be able to pick up the energies for them, and then work with it. Work with a friend, work with an acquaintance, work with a family member, and try to build that understanding of what's coming through. Practice, of course, is going to make you more comfortable with what's coming through. But if information is coming through and you haven't been asked to share it, then I would suggest I would not share it or ask for permission first. I mean, I've had that happen before, so I'll give you an example where I did share it. So I was on vacation with a friend of mine, and we were in Mexico. And we were at a resort and we were sharing a room, my friend and I. We were going to bed one night and all of a sudden a spirit showed up in the room. He was standing in the corner of the room. I'm having a conversation with him and my friend is watching me and I didn't realize she's looking at me, but she could see my facial gestures because I'm having the conversation in my head. And my face is just kind of has this furrowed brow and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, what do you mean?" And she's like, "You must be talking to somebody because I can see your body language is something's going on." And she's known me for quite some time. So she has witnessed a few things in our exchanges together. And she said, "There's somebody there, isn't there?" And I said, "Yes, yes, there is." And she said, "Oh my gosh," she was so excited. "Who is it? Who is it?" And I said, "Well, it's a gentleman. He wants me to find his friend and the friend's family. And I'm arguing with him, telling him I'm not doing that because that's an intrusion on somebody else's personal space." And he was telling me, go down to the two floors down and go down to this room and knock on the door and talk to these people. And I was feeling very violated because I said, you know, you're intruding on me. This is my vacation. And you want me to go to them. And I don't mind helping, but I don't know them. So that's going to be really intrusive. What if they don't feel comfortable with me doing that? I was having this conversation with this young man who was a spirit. And I said, "Tell you what." Well, first of all, my friend said, "Well, let's do it. Let's help him. Let's help him." I said, "Well, I'd like to help him, but I'm not going to do that work in the way that he wants me to, because again, it's not really a polite way to do things." So I said to him, "Well, I'll make you a deal. If you bring the family to me, I will channel you for them. No questions asked, but you've got to bring them right to me. I mean, serve them to me on a silver platter. I'm not going to go knock on someone's door and make them feel uncomfortable. And I mean, they may be pleased, but they may not be, right? Not everybody is open." I mean, this was probably about 10 years ago, that this example that I'm giving you. Anyway, we went to sleep that night. And the next morning, my friend is so excited. And she's like, "Let's find the people." I said, "No, we're not looking for them. He's meant to bring them to us. It will happen. We have to trust." I said, "We will help him. Don't worry. This is how the divine works. They will line it up." So my friend is sitting the whole day reading her book, but she's staring at everybody, trying to figure out who it is. He did give me a description of the man that he was looking for. So she has to go to the washroom. We're sitting at the pool and I go, okay, I'm going to go up to the bar. And so I go to the bar to get some water. I'm standing there and this man comes up beside me and there's no one else around. The bartender leaves to go get some supplies. This man comes up, he takes one look at me and he just starts talking away to me. And then that spirit showed up, that young man showed up. And I went, oh my gosh, you did it. Here he is. Okay. And I knew it was going to be a fun ride because I was like, oh, okay, game on. We've got this going. I'm going to step into it now because you brought this. And it wasn't the man that the young spirit told me about. It wasn't the description of the person he mentioned, but it was an older man. So I said, okay, this man is connected somehow. So the man is talking to me. And then he proceeds to tell me he's there with his son and his son's wife and his wife and his daughter. And I said, oh, I said, you know, I'm really interested about your son. He said, yeah. And he gave me the man's name. And then I said, has he been suffering a lot lately? He goes, yeah. How did you know that? And I said, did he have a loss, like a separation? And so I started to ask him these little questions and just to fine tune that I do have the right person. I guess that was more for my ego self. And eventually he said, yeah, how do you know this? And I said, well, I'm going to ask you, do I have permission to share information with you? And he said, sure, I don't know what you mean. And I explained it to him. And I said, I have a gentleman here who is crossed over and his face went white. And he said, that's why we're here, because my son lost his best friend. The friend died and my son can't get over it. And so we are here on a vacation trying to like restart him, like get him to feel more like participating in life, get him away from the environment that he was in and try to trigger some more joy of life. And so he asked me some questions about the man who had passed over and the spirit answered them. And the guy said, you know what? I don't believe in this stuff whatsoever, but what you're saying to me is absolutely 100% true. And could you meet with my family? I said, yes, the soul wants to meet with your son. And he said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. Don't think my son's going to meet with him because he doesn't believe in any of this. And I think that would make him very uncomfortable, but we will try. So I gave him my room number and told him where to find me. He contacted me later on that day and said, you know, my son says no, doesn't want anything to do with it. He's very uncomfortable with it. But my wife and my daughter would like to come and talk to you. So I met them later on in the afternoon and we channeled like four of their relatives that day, not the man that's crossed over, but four of their relatives because they were just so interested in it. And then I said, I'm leaving tomorrow night. He has till 10 o'clock tomorrow night to contact me, your son does, in order for me to channel his friend. And I said, if he feels comfortable, I'm more than willing to do that at whatever level he's comfortable at. So it was 9:30 at night, the next night, and the son's wife contacted me and said, I would like you to come and meet us. My husband would like you to channel his friend. So I met them and I channeled his friend for about 45 minutes and we were all in tears. It was just a beautiful situation. But I had to do it the right way. It felt so good. But he said to me that young man said, I've been suffering the loss of my friend and I didn't believe, but you just made me a believer. So now I feel like I can live again. And that was so rewarding for me, but there's no way I could do it any other way. I couldn't have just went and knocked on his door. He would have refused instantly. And I knew that. So it's really important for us to be mindful that not all people are where we are at in life. I have a great depth of belief, but not a lot of people do. And not a lot of people are comfortable with it. So we need to come at it at a very conscious space so that we are doing no harm to anyone and that we are helping where we can and in the right ways. Just because a spirit comes through, I tell them that doesn't mean whoever's on this side is going to be accepting of that. It is a two-way street and really a three-way communication with me being the mediator or anyone being the mediator in it. We're just the messengers for the information but we have to be honoring and respectful of that too. So that's just my personal beliefs. I never go up to somebody and randomly go, hey, do you have a mother who's crossed over? And do you want to talk to her? She's standing right here, because that can really be damaging to a lot of people. So that's just my theory, and everything that I believe and everything that I teach people, I always say, take from it what resonates with you and what doesn't. Just disregard it. You live your life, you do you and what's comfortable for you, because you are on your own path and your journey is yours. But this is how I do my life. And that's what I have to do to hold to my true to my values and my morals of life. And integrity is like my top value that I follow. So there's nothing that I can do that compromises that, or I would be denying and harming myself. So that's just one example. And that's why I would say it's very important. So I'd first say, let's find some people who are willing and open, and let's practice. And then that is going to give you a good foundation. But just because the information comes through, and I learned this the hard way many, many years ago, just because the information comes through doesn't mean that it is meant to be shared, or doesn't mean that it is meant for anybody but you first and foremost. Andrea, there I go yapping away again. But
you know, I really appreciate the story though, because going up to somebody who's buying oranges at the grocery store to have this intrusion, you know, makes for good reality television maybe, but out in the real world, I'm with you. I just don't think that that's really the loving way to go on things. So I do really appreciate your story there for sure. Yeah, thank you for that. Great illustration. You know, I think we're about out of time, Sheila. I want to check in with you. You've mentioned your courses and your community. If people want to reach out and learn more about you, how can they best do that?
I would love for everyone to feel very comfortable in reaching out to me if they have any questions or concerns. My website is ultimatehealingconcepts.com, or they can reach me at petpsychic.ca. Both of those go to the same website, and all my information is on there. And I'm more than willing to help anybody who is struggling, has questions, who is uncertain, because I've been through quite the journey myself, and I understand exactly how that feels. And I love, love, love to teach people how to awaken this within themselves. It's our own right to understand our own spirituality. So yes, please, anybody wants to contact me in any way, I'm open.
Fantastic. Thank you so, so much. And of course, we'll have your links and all of that also in the show notes and in the video description on our YouTube channel. Thank you so much for being with me, Sheila. I feel like there are so many other things that we could have really talked about with your different background and all of your different areas that you offer help in. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrea. It's been truly a blessing to be here. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And from myself and the team here at Beyond the Reiki Gateway, we'd like to say thank you to our listeners for all of your support, including leaving great reviews, becoming BTRG insiders, and sharing the show with your friends and family. Drop us a line at info@beyondthereikigateway.com anytime. Tell us what's on your mind and take great care. Until next time. Thank you for listening. And you can check the show notes or visit the website beyondthereikigateway.com to find out more about the podcast and connect with me. Please keep in mind that views and opinions expressed in the show don't necessarily reflect those of the podcast or anyone affiliated with its production or advertising. This program is presented for your entertainment only, and all information provided is to be utilized at the listener's own discretion. I, along with the BTRG team, hope you enjoy the show as much as we enjoy making it for you. Wishing you highest blessings until we meet again beyond the Reiki Gateway.